C7. Number 8B.
All right. We come to the next chapter, Christian Science versus Spiritualism. This is a terrific chapter, one of my beloved ones, though every time I come to another chapter, it is a beloved one too. But perhaps spiritualism is a especially beloved one because it is a stepchild of the Christian scientists. They don't like it. They take it not as their dearest child. They think it has nothing to do really with their interest because they are not interested in spiritism. They think it's not written for them, whereas it is a chapter on spiritualism. And spiritualism is the belief that spirit and matter blend. It's the belief that opposites blend. And naturally you see how important this chapter is for the question of oneness, because this chapter states, so to say, the very root of dualism, namely that opposites can blend and make one. That the one consists of opposites. And therefore, if we can see through the claim of spiritualism, we really see through something. Who are spiritualists? We all. I don't know anybody who is not a spiritualist, and a very hard-boiled spiritualist. We all believe in the cooperation of life and matter. And woe, 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 if life and matter do not cooperate and the body is dead, then we are really downcast. And really we feel something has gone wrong. Because we are dualists. We are spiritualists. Every time we feel that spiritual facts, the seven synonymous term, must cooperate with anything that is not of the seven synonymous terms, is of another nature than the seven synonymous terms, that's spiritualism. It's a mixing of the divine with something else. And if we look at this way, we know only too well how deep-rooted spiritualism is in our consciousness. And that we have actually not seen through the claim of spiritualism. Well, spiritualism, therefore, Mrs. Eddy calls quite rightly gross materialism. It's gross materialism because we like to make out of matter something bigger than matter. We like to put some intelligence into matter, some substance in matter, some spirit in matter, some soul in matter, some principles in matter, some life in matter. We would like to put some consciousness in matter, and we certainly would like to put some emotion and love in matter. And when we have that, then we feel we have done we have something more. And what we have more is that we have the claim of spiritualism. So that terrific dividing line that Mrs. Eddy draws between opposite is actually the main subject of this chapter. Can spirit be divided up in parts or not? This is the question. In this chapter, Mrs. Eddy takes up now the science of that oneness, the science of spirit. This, in contrast to spiritualism, which is also the theory or the science of the spiritual, and the spiritual is usually considered to be mixed up with matter. Let's take the biblical note at the beginning, which is very illustrative. She says, he quotes from Isaiah, and says, "And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not the people seek unto their God? See, should the people seek information from spirits, or should we seek information from God? Should we seek information from the mingling of spirit and matter, from intelligence and matter, from soul and matter, or should we seek from God? The second scriptural note gives us the answer and says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In other words, shall we find our way of knowing from the spirits that peep and mutter, from dualism? Or shall we get our knowledge and our understanding from God? That's the question. If a man keep my saying, what does that mean? If a man sticks to the science of spirit, to the spiritual way of knowing, not listening to human beliefs, not listening to human opinions, you see? That's a mingling, that's the spirits, the people that matter, human opinions, human beliefs, because it's a mingling of understanding with people, it's a mingling of knowledge with people, humans. That mingling are the spirits that peep and that matter. And you know, we know that. We say we have some kind of a question in our mind and say to ourselves, I wonder what I should do about this. And you ask 10 people and they all peep and matter. And everyone peeps and matters in a different way. You can be quite sure that there are 10 different answers because there are 10 different opinions. Which means, should not a people seek unto their God? Should we not find out things through the understanding of spirit? What would be the signs of spirit in contrast to spiritualism? In contrast to go to the spirits that peep and matter, to the mediums that give us information, that try to lead us and to tell us what to do. That's the mediumship. What should we do? Shouldn't we not go to God? But how? How should we go to God? And here in this chapter it's all about the how to understand being. Should we understand it through a spiritistic belief, which is human belief, human opinions, which is superstition, which is speculation. When you read that chapter through, you are quite amazed at the whole list of false sense of, what shall I say, that they give all a whole list of how not to approach a subject scientifically. It gives a whole list of unscientific methods to approach a subject. To approach it not through human beliefs, not through spirits, not through mediums, not through human opinions, not through speculative theories, not through unscientific methods. It's a whole list there when you go through that chapter. And all that versus the purity of the one spirit, namely understanding. Understanding, understanding. Because Mrs. Eddy says, understanding is a quality of spirit. She doesn't say understanding is a quality of the human mind. Understanding is a quality of man. Understanding is a quality of spirit. And so she said, should the people get his knowledge from spiritualistic beliefs, which is dualistic beliefs, or should the people seek unto their God? should the people get his information through Spirit's own understanding? This is the great question here. It is so that naturally she shows a lot about Spiritism and the mediumship of Spiritualism, that Spiritualism seems to be able to give us information, to commune, and that through the dead there is a communication with the living here, that there is a communication within the realm of mortal mind and of the human faculties, and always answers and says, no, it is just one way to understand, and that's understanding, spiritual understanding. So if we reduce the whole thing back to the question of oneness, we see here that what he wants to bring out is that God's understanding and man's understanding must be one, that they should not be different, that we should not think God knows something and God understands the universe, and I, with my human understanding, with my human intellect, can somehow understand God's universe. What he wants to bring out is that God's understanding and man's way of understanding must be the same understanding, Spirit's own understanding. This is the terrific thing in here. And only then do we free ourselves of spiritualism. Can you see what a medium does, a spiritualistic medium does? A spiritualistic medium is just a channel. For what? For a so-called intelligence that is of a person that has died, that information, that intelligence, which apparently is a higher intelligence, an intelligence that knows more, that intelligence can commune through the medium of a spiritualistic medium to give us the direction, to give us enlightenment, and tell us what is right. Now, this is spiritualistic mediumship. Now, in the world we have the mediumship of spiritualism, and everybody is under that belief, that we can understand the absolute through a medium that is not absolute, namely through brain thinking, through human thinking, through human beliefs, through human theories, through dogmas, through speculative theories, and I don't know what she is bringing up here. This is also mediumship. And the resolving of it is, for both for spiritism and for spiritualism, is the science of spirit, in which he says there is only one communion possible between truth and us, and that is spirit's own understanding of itself. So that the way God understands must be the same as the way we understand. In other terms, God's way of understanding and man's way of understanding must be the one and the same thing. And actually, this is the key for all understanding in the world. That one begins to see that the structure of being and the structure of understanding must be identical. Or else, we can never understand being. Because only like can understand like. But we see that then accentuated in the 13th chapter. Here at this point, she only brings up the great question that we should approach the oneness of being with that understanding which is God's own understanding. Therefore, we can see what we should do. We should culture our consciousness in the nature of the seventh synonymous term. If within our consciousness we only reason along the line of the seventh synonymous term, we reason along the line of God's own understanding, and so our understanding and God's understanding are identical, are one. How shall we put it into words? We could put into our box for the fourth chapter, we could say, man's spiritual understanding, man's spiritual understanding, and God's understanding are one. If we have that, then we have overcome spiritualism. We are in the science of spirit. We could ask ourselves now, what is the opposite sense, the dualistic sense? Well, the dualistic sense would be that God has a kind of understanding and that man has another kind of understanding, so that there are two kinds of understanding. And that's usually the way the world thinks. The world usually thinks the way, in a spiritualistic way, that they say, oh yes, God, you know, God, whoever God is and whatever God is, yes, he knows all. They think, yeah, he knows all, he understands everything. That's one of kind of understanding. Then we go to man, and then we say, how does man understand? Well, naturally, he understands it very differently. He understands it on what he has learned in schools. Can you see the duality? And can you see that then man is his own understander? I think this is the dualistic sense. So perhaps you can put here that man is an understander, if I may add something to the Webster Dictionary. That man can understand out of his own, in his own way. He can't. He's not an understander. God understands. Spirit understands. And the man can only understand when he understands the way God understands. Then man can understand reality. But not out of himself, by being his own understander. And therefore use all kinds of beliefs and opinions. So in this way we come to a terrific sense of seeing that actually spiritualism is always a question of communion of intelligence, or communion of information. And the question is always that everybody asks himself, how can I have a better communication of information? How do I know more? How can I see deeper into a thing? See, up to now, through all these three first chapters, that question has not been put forward. Never has been asked, how do you understand God? How do you understand your unity with God? It was just saying, man is one with God, in the chapter on prayer, then in the Atonement and Eucharist, man is one with God, therefore he exemplifies God. In marriage he said, man is one with God, but God is the sum total of the universe, so man is one with the sum total of the universe. But never has been asked, how on earth does man understand his oneness with God? How is man conscious of his oneness with God? How does man commune with God so that he is one? So the fourth chapter is that chapter which focuses on that communication. You have the term commune quite often in this chapter and practically nowhere anymore in the other chapter. It's the communion, and says, man communes with that understanding which is the understanding of God himself. That's the one understanding. And therefore you can see why Mrs. Eddy starts out with that chapter and says, mortal existence is an enigma. See, starts right out and says, mortal existence for everyone is just a terrific riddle. He just doesn't know what to do with that whole mortal existence. He doesn't know where he comes and where he goes. He doesn't know his steps. He's absolutely at sea, so to say. It's an enigma. But she doesn't leave that question of mortal existence to be an enigma. She says, I can give you an answer to it. And in that first paragraph, she says, I am going to give you an answer to it. And that answer lies in the revelation of God, namely, that there is one spirit, that there is only one spirit, and that that spirit communes with spirit, and that there is only one understanding, and that's the understanding of spirit. And then, mortal existence is no more an enigma, then one can really see through that whole thing. It's interesting to see here, you know, that in this chapter, it's the only chapter in which she takes up the whole question of mysticism. In no other chapter she uses the term mystic or mystical or mysticism or anything like that. And here she says that mysticism is unscientific. You get again that sense, mystics versus science. She says it is mysticism which gives spiritualism its force. So behind spiritualism is mysticism, not understanding properly, not wanting to understand at all, to feel that there is another way of communion than through understanding. But she says, but science never removes phenomena from the domain of reason into the realm of mysticism. So she calls back that whole sense of communion with the being into the realm of reason. But naturally there we have to be clear that, so to say, we have to distinguish between three kinds of communion and reasoning. I think we have to see that the ordinary rational reasoning, the human reasoning, the human knowledge is naturally not the way. That we don't think that rationality in a human way is what Mrs. Eddy understands to be understanding, that would define our way of understanding. Nor is it the mystical way, the Tao way, that is meant here, which says, you don't need to think. See, the Tao way is to say, if you let drop all your thinking, then you will have revelation. A very tempting way, because it's, in a way, very logic. It says, if you put your own thinking out of the way, then nothing stands in the way of enlightenment, which is quite true. But you also can come just to a point of neutrality. And therefore, the third way that Mrs. Eddy really wants to show is to put away rational thinking and to put away really the mortal thinking and empty one thought to the point of being absolutely empty, but then to fill it. This is the step forward, and say, fill it. That's the scientific way, the way of science. And to fill it with what? With what kind of understanding now? If it is not the classical, logical, reasoning way, and if it is not the mystical way of just forgetting everything, what then is the third way? And here comes naturally the Western thought in that says, you know, actually we can analyze the way of understanding. We know the way, and the way is a scientific way. It has steps, it has differentiated steps, and so you can, through purification of your consciousness, arrive at the point of transparency. Then God's understanding and my understanding is one thing called understanding. And then we have touched, really, the fourth chapter on spiritualism. Yes, so that would be the main aspect of that fourth chapter.